Hello and welcome to this episode of Journey to a Dream, which is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. And today it's all about the Southern Hundred. I'm joined by Boris Kitching, who's a member of the Southern Hundred Club, also Dave Redmayne, who's the Chief Technical Officer, Phil Taubman, who's the President, and first George Peach, who's the Chairman of the Southern Hundred Club. And I first wanted to find out from George where it all started from him. Where was his first association with racing down on the Belown course?
I don't know. Probably in the mid-50s, I was only about six or seven sort of thing, and just been involved with the Southern Hundred ever since, basically. And then when I was 16, the thing that everybody in my era all wanted to do was to be marshals and all, and I got involved that way, and it sort of progressed, for better or worse.
What about you, Phil?
I started in 1955 when the races started, but it was nothing to do with motorbikes. It was purely and simply to get a ride on the back of the wagon that was actually setting the course up beforehand. Myself and most of the kids round School Hill at the time wanted to be involved, and that's how it all started, back in 1955.
And how different was it back then?
Completely different. It was great fun. The whole thing was just a big laugh and everybody enjoyed themselves.
Did you grow up in a biking family?
No. No, I lived right along the Castledown Bridge on the first corner there at School Hill, and it was just an automatic thing to get involved with the bikes because they were on every year.
And what about you, George? Were you from a biking background?
No, nothing to do with bikes.
Really?
No.
And did either of you ever fancy having a go at it yourselves and riding?
I did some off-road stuff many years ago, but never fancied actually riding a racing bike.
No, and same with me. I had two or three motorbikes, but I don't think I'd have been here now if I'd been involved, I think.
Now, Dave, you are the chief scrutineer. Obviously, you're massively involved in the racing on the mountain course as well, but how did your involvement with the Southern Hundred come about?
Yeah, I've been scrutinizing for about 20 years now. I started off Derby and then doing the Southern Hundred just as a normal scrutineer. 2017, the chief scrutineer, Mike Chapman, he was stepping down and he invited me to step into his shoes. Bit of a poison chalice, but it's been good fun.
Clearly so much responsibility, but I'm guessing there are times where you have to deliver news to people that they really don't want to hear. How do you deal with that?
Well, if it's a safety issue, you've just got to say to them, well, the machine's not fit to be used on the circuit. Regulations-wise, we can get problems as well if they haven't followed the technical regulations to the letter. Then it's just, you know, put it right, or I'm afraid you're going to have to put it back in the van.
Have you ever had any arguments in the scrutineering tent?
Not arguments. I've had a couple of difficult competitors, but we resolved it in the end. One of them decided to go home. That was his decision. But, it can be difficult.
And, Boris, what's your involvement with the Southern Hundred, first of all?
I've had various roles over the years. I got into it because my dad was big into the motorbikes, and he had various roles of doing the finishing flag and driving the course car and taking the riders around and showing them the circuit and stuff. And I kind of got roped into it over the years, and I've done various roles. The last one I was doing was the gate letting. I'm currently training a new person to go on the gate. So I started social media and things like that, and we're always on the lookout for youth to come in and help us out. These guys have been around for quite a number of years and done a brilliant job in the past and still doing it, and it's time catches up.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, isn't it, George? And trying to get people to give up their time, which is essentially what so many of the team working for the Southern Hundred do, it's just not as easy these days. If we talk about the sort of people that you'd be looking for, what is it you'd be seeking to try and help out with you?
Basically, anybody sort of 40 years or younger would be nice, who's fit, active and willing to do a fair bit of craft and manual work and get involved in the club that way.
We now use a contractor for heavy work, but it seems to bring the club together. If you're all working to put on the event, if you're all out there sort of getting your hands dirty together, then it brings the club together. If you just pay a contractor to do it all, then there isn't a club as such. So yeah, we just need more people to come and join the club. As Boris has said, we're all getting older. We've got the knowledge which we desperately want to pass on to somebody else, but finding people who are prepared to give up the time and get involved is very difficult.
And you know, it's known as the friendly races, and I think anybody who's been down and experienced it firsthand, whether just watching or being part of it in any small way, would absolutely understand that. How does that work? How do you have such a big team of people but actually have that sort of mentality, which is incredibly professional yet utterly welcoming as well?
From day one, the Southern 100 was a Castletown event. It was very much a local event. People opened their doors and took their riders in and gave them accommodation, found them a garage somewhere to put the bike and to work on the bike. And it's always been very much a family affair. And it's just progressed over the years. I sort of found 2 years ago when we had that serious accident, everybody, all of the local population, gathered around us and helped us and supported us. And it felt as if we were loved by everybody. And it's always been the same way at the Southern 100. I can't explain where it's come from, but that's the way we operate, and long may it continue.
We're very well supported by virtually everybody. We're very dependent on the goodwill of all the people who live around the course, all the farmers and everything. We really appreciate all the help that everybody gives us, and it does help to bring quite a bit of money into the community as well, which is important.
And you certainly keep it in the family, because your daughter is heavily involved as well.
Yes, she's the secretary. She's taken over from me virtually now.
And was that something that she wanted to do, or was there a little bit of gentle persuasion?
You'll have to ask her that, but she is quite keen, hopefully. We're very lucky, I think, this year for the Southern 100. We've got about 26 newcomers, which is sort of virtually quarter of the field, which is, it's great that it's bringing people on so that they can go into the Manx Grand Prix, the TT, whatever, you know.
So, Dave, would you just give us a sense of, during a race meeting, you know, we've got the pre-TT, we've got the Southern 100, which is coming up. What does your day look like on a race day?
Pretty busy. We're there early doors, get the sides of the tent up, encourage the riders to get up in order. Sometimes that's a bit of a... it's like herding cats, but there we go. Get the bikes through, get them into the holding area as soon as we can. Like I say, we've got a fantastic team. There's probably about 20 of us. We've got separate scrutineers over at the sidecar paddock, so they're concentrating on getting the outfits done. Hopefully everything goes smoothly. We do have a sin bin just outside the scrutineering tent, so if there's any minor alterations need doing to any machinery, they can do it there. And just making sure that everybody's through safe, sound, happy, not stressed, because we don't want anybody going out on the circuit stressed. That's the main thing. That's why we try and keep it very smooth and low-key.
And from your point of view, Boris, what sort of things would you generally be doing on a race meeting day?
Get a bacon and egg bap from the shop, which is the highlight. And, go from there. It depends what I'm up to. Doing the gate, it's a lot of hours on your feet. You have a radio and you're letting them onto the circuit and making sure they're all in the holding area, ready to go to the circuit. And then it's pack everything away at the end of the day and then set it up again the next morning. It's a community thing, the club, and community spirit seems to have been lost on kids today, I think, a little. Where when we grew up, it was a big part of it. You just followed your parents and they all mucked in and you mucked in with them, and it kind of gets ingrained in you. And it doesn't seem to happen these days. But the kids have more on and the internet and all those kinds of things, which we didn't have in the day. But it's a good thing to get involved in, and it's people are great, and you're achieving something. You meet great people as well. The biker community is just such a close-knit family, really. I'd encourage anybody to come and give it a go, and it's not all hard work. The more people you got, the less hard the work is. But it's experience, it gives you life skills, and we're all here today still doing it and enjoying it.
And actually, there's a lot that goes on outside, Phil, in terms of getting together and having events, and also the fundraising side of things as well.
We do a lot of fundraising. We're very fortunate, again, that people want to help us, and we buy all our own equipment. The Southern 100 is self-support. We can't use stuff that's used on the TT course because they need it the same time as we do for the pre-TT. We could have it now for the Southern 100, but then that's not always convenient because we've got to take it from the TT course to put it down to the Southern 100. We did it years ago. It used to happen that way. That was before we had the pre-TT. But yes, we need a lot of cash to keep the event alive. I suppose the turnover now must be around about £500,000, I suppose. And we managed to support ourselves, and I would say at least 75% of that. So what we do is essential.
Just runs like clockwork. And I think, George, that's the one thing I've certainly noticed from spending a couple of years down there, is that you have this schedule. And even if you start a little bit late, by the end of it, you're like, how did you keep to that time? I mean, it seems to be something that the team really prides themselves on.
In the last few years, we've had new clerk of the course, because Phil and more recently Peter both retired. Peter Oates, and we've had Giles Ollie's been doing it, and he's getting into the hang of it a bit more now, so we're sort of managing to keep up with the time and everything. It seems to work that down to the last sort of minute virtually, like, you know, it tells everybody where they should be and all, and it does seem to work, so...
Who works all that out?
it's been it was me actually, recently, but it...
It, I it think was actually started by Bob Doughty from Shaw Garages many, many years ago. He brought the first one out, and of course George has updated it and made it work for today.
So as we speak, George, we're literally just a couple of weeks away from Southern 100, which seems baffling, doesn't it, that's come around so fast. But there are a few changes this year.
Yes, this year we've got live streaming arranged for the Wednesday evening and all day Thursday with a company called King of the Road. So it's going to be available on their website. We're very lucky. Manx Radio always do a fantastic job with the commentaries and all as well. So it's just an added thing, and it's for people from across, from throughout the world, basically, because this year we've got competitors from virtually all over the world. We've got a Mexican entered, an Australian, a couple of Americans, and then there's quite a few European riders as well. So it just all helps, you know.
And do you ever stop to think, how do these people find out about this race that's happening here in the Isle of Man?
Yes, I do. I think a lot of it is with it going out on television and all, it gets seen, you know, throughout the world, basically, so it all helps.
It's like the TT race for the mass start. It's exactly that. It's pure road racing at its best. I think we're the only one now. Scarborough is supposedly a road race, and they have mass start races there, but pure road racing on public highways, which are used every day by the normal traffic, is something special to the Southern 100. The excitement is fantastic, because the bike's around every 3 minutes or so, sometimes less than that, but it's very, very exciting. And of course, the first man across the line is the winner.
And, you know, I don't think, unless you've ever stood on that start line and seen that mass start, you can even begin to imagine what it's like. Honestly, it blew my mind the first time I saw it. In terms of marshalling around the course, how many do you need?
There is no minimum or maximum number required. It is whatever the marshal, the chief marshal, and his sector marshals are comfortable with, but it works out anywhere between 120 and 150, I think, is what we would normally get.
And again, this goes back to, you know, that level of commitment. I know you do get a lot of people who come over specifically for it.
We do now, yes. It started a few years ago that people were coming over to watch the race and wanted to get involved, and now they keep coming back every year. I would think that probably 50% or even more than 50% sometimes are UK marshals who come over to support our event. Yeah, we're very fortunate. We do look after them and we do our best for them. We don't feed and water them every day, but certainly on the Thursday, we provide lunches for them and make sure that they're looked after.
And, you know, you two have both been recognised for your dedication to the Southern 100 racing. And I wonder what that means personally to you, because you both just give this impression that really to you, you're doing it because, you know, you see it as your responsibility. You're not asking anything for it. It's just something that you've done over the years and you just keep doing. Even, George, when you were really struggling with your health as well.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, I love doing and I'll continue doing as long as I can.
I can't imagine not doing the Southern 100. I can't imagine not being at the Southern 100. I'm not sure if I've ever missed one in all the years it's been running. Yeah, I just can't imagine not being there. I have to be involved.
And so on the race days, we're talking to Boris and Dave about what they do, but on a race day typically, where would you two be?
Well, up until a few years ago, I was clerk of the course and now I'm president of the club. I look after the guests, basically. I started off many, many years ago as the catering officer, and believe it or not, it's gone full circle. For about 4 years ago, I took over as catering officer again. We didn't have anybody to do it, so I was up cooking breakfasts and doing everything that we do. I'm happy to say that I now have a young lady who's taken over from me, and she's doing a fantastic job, as are all the girls there. And I just look after the guests, make sure that they're, again, we provide them with food and drink. We always make sure there's a chocolate biscuit and a cup of tea for them on race days. And of course, I'm involved with George on the podium. We go over and make sure that we've got the champagne on ice ready for them, the garland, the hat, the sash, make sure everything is ready for the presentations. So, yeah, just in and round the excitement.
That's probably the best part. But yeah, no, I'm just in the race office. Rachel's there anyway, and she does most of it now, to be quite honest. I've got to take more of a back seat.
And Phil, you're talking about the clerk of the course, and again, there is a job with immense responsibility, and not everybody's always going to like the calls that are made. How did you balance that?
I had to step back and not take any of it personal at all. I had to sort of distance myself from all of the competitors on race day. I couldn't get too close to any of them because things happen. You have to make decisions. Decisions are made for you at times. So I sort of had to divorce myself from any personal contact until the race was over. I've made many, many friends over the years, and that's fine. But on race day, when you're actually sitting in the clock of the course chair and having to make decisions, keeping the whole thing very clinical and very professional.
Gosh, yeah. Was that something you never fancied having a go at, George?
No. Dave, much better than I ever would have been.
I have to say that it's a lot more difficult today. I was clerk for the Manx Grand Prix for 8 years as well. That was 10 times the problems that we have at Balaun. But I wouldn't want the job today because there is so much paperwork, there is so much risk assessments and paperwork that you have to do before ever a bike goes out on the course. It's not the job that it used to be. It's a lot more, I suppose, professional is probably the best way to describe it. It's gone very, very professional. It's gone very businesslike now. It's not just for fun anymore. It's a business, and you have to make sure that all the T's are crossed, the I's are all dotted, and that everything is in order.
And George, I mean, that's something that goes with the times, doesn't it? And we know there have been changes down on the Balaun course, certainly safety-wise. I mean, you mentioned that incident that happened a couple of years ago, and things have to change and progress and move on. And I think the adaptability has been clear to see. But the club is now in charge of the races again down there. What difference does that make to you?
It just gives us that bit more freedom to do what we want to do, basically, as opposed to when ACU events were doing it. And we saved quite a significant amount of money for the government by taking it back under control ourselves as well.
It's difficult having to go and ask somebody if you can do something that you've done for 60-odd years. Yeah, it didn't feel right not being completely in charge of our own event. And I personally am delighted that we have now got control of the event again. The three guys who have come over to help us, Andy, Tony and Giles, they came initially with ACUE, and they've agreed that they will come and do the same thing for us, which was why we were able to take back control. And we're knocking them into shape. They're doing things our way now, although it's all still within the rules and regulations. We're not breaking any of the rules. So, yeah, those guys are great, and it works.
And having been involved for such time, there must be some incredible memories that you both have that really stand out for you. George, I wonder if there's anything that particularly springs to mind.
One of my earliest memories was going back. I was only 6 or 7 as a photograph of the dead heat at the start line with Phil Reed and Alan Shepherd, I think it was, and myself and one of my friends are sat on a straw bale. In those days, the grandstand was on the race control side off the track. And then, like Phil says, we just made so many friends throughout the years with all the riders and everything, you know, and I think that's important. Because with being a friendly meeting, we endeavour to, if the riders do need anything, we try, if possible, to help them in any way we can.
What about you, Phil? What's the overriding memory you have?
Too many to sort of pick an individual one. I mean, over the years, the racing itself has been fantastic. The weather, I can remember as a young boy when I was selling programmes on Castledown Bypass in 1957, I think, was the wet one. I was home 3 times to get changed because I was absolutely wringing wet through. Other days, we got up one morning at 5 o'clock in the morning for the early morning practice, and I think it was 30 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning, so that was the other end of the scale. But yeah, there'd be so many highlights having had all of the top road race riders from 1955 onwards. Alistair King and Bob McIntyre used to race here, along with Derek Ennett and George Costain, Alan Shepherd. Throughout the years, we've had King of the Mountains, King of the Roads, our favourite Joey Dunlop. I mean, Joey did more for us publicity wise without even knowing than anybody. But yeah, we've had all the top guys, and this year is no exception. Michael's coming, Davey Todd's coming. I think we've just confirmed that Dean is going to race with us now. We have the creme de la creme of road racing, and they all bring happy memories.
And what does the support of names like that mean to you, George?
It's important, I think, in a way that keeps the club high up and high profile. And like I say, we've also got the Crowe brothers, sidecar champions, competing as well, which is absolutely great.
Boris, we're going to talk about something that's happening anniversary-wise.
Yes, it's the 70th anniversary this year, 55 to 25. We've got 18 past champions. coming, dating back to the 60s, some of them. So some big stars as well. Various things. Some of them are going to be doing a parade lap. We're putting in stuff on in the square. Chris Kinley's going to be doing talks and stuff. Talk show in the fan zone in the square. And quite a few of them will be going down and telling their tales there.
And you mentioned the fan zone. Is that open to anybody to go along to?
Yeah, that's open. That's in the square. There's going to be big screens. For the first time this year, we've got the race is going to be live screened the Wednesday and all day Thursday, and you can purchase that for £12, and it comes with a deal where you get a couple of other races in the season, so you get three meetings for the price of one, really. So it's yeah, we're really excited to be doing this with green light for the first time.
Yeah, and it's great to be marking what is such a significant anniversary. And we've talked a little bit about how things have changed since then, but really the nostalgia and the love for the event really is something that has been so enduring.
Yeah, and it keeps making memories, and that's why it's called the Friendly Races, because we've got a rapport with the town and the visitors, and try and help them out as much as we can. So we've got 18 coming. Past winners, three of them are still riding. There's Michael Dunlap, Davey Todd and Dean Harrison. And we've got the likes of Phil McCallan, Ryan Farquhar, Ian Locker, Bob Jackson, Charlie Williams. There's some big names in there. A few Manxies as well.
And Dave, we were talking a little bit about what your typical day is like on our race day. Mm-hmm. But tell me a little bit about the team that you've got around you.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much the same team that does Derby, TT, Manx Grand Prix, all local people. We get a few coming over from the UK just to help out. We're all trained to the same level. To run an event, you need to be a senior. You need, for the TT, you need to have the FIM licence. But we've got a lot of admin staff as well. Some of the ladies are fantastic helping out with the admin work.
So what do you need qualification-wise to be a scrutineer?
We run a seminar up at the grandstand once a year, and then you take a paper. If you're a newbie to the job, we have a motorcycle there with some faults on that you can have a look at, give you an idea of what you're looking for. Generally, we like to see people who are motorcyclists. X-races are good because they're poached turn gamekeeper, you know, all the cheats. No, adaptions of the rules. If you're just a road motorcyclist, fine, you know which end of the motorbike's which. A bit of mechanical knowledge is always helpful.
And I guess, you know, going back to what you said, really, primarily this is about safety, isn't it? It's making sure that every rider that goes out there is going to be as safe as they possibly can be. So while it is a huge responsibility, there must be that sense of actually, you know, without you guys, racing just couldn't go ahead.
True enough. Primarily, we're there to make sure the machine complies with the regulations. And then safety is obviously paramount. You know, we make sure that the mechanics haven't missed anything, because it does happen. Human nature, you get distracted. I've had a few instances of it where things have been left loose. I had one at the TT. Rear wheel spindle wasn't done up. Went through the bike, and as I rocked the back wheel, the mechanic looked down at me and he knew exactly what he'd done. He'd left it loose. Got distracted. And it does happen across the board. I had one of the super bikes who normally finish in the top 10 with a loose bolt as well. So it's not just the lower teams, it's everybody. Everybody can make a mistake. We're all human, aren't we?
But there's just that extra level of checking there, which just hopefully makes sure that all is as okay as it can be.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we're trained to do. We're trained to look at, for cracks in frames, loose bolts, you know, tyres fitted the wrong way around. We've had that before. Now there's a big issue with the tyre age limit, so we've got to make sure that they're under 3 years old. But yeah, our training, we sort of have refreshes during the year amongst ourselves to keep us keen.
So how do you go about recruiting scrutineers?
We've got various drives, advertising drives on at the moment. We've got an event down at the Strand Shopping Centre this Saturday, 28th. We've got a table there and some motorcycles and a team of people through the day. So if anybody wants to pop by, and we'll give them a heads up on what you have to do to join the team. We do have the social side of it as well. We have the Isle of Man Scrutineers Association, so we go out temping, bowling and quiz nights, and you know, it's not just all working.
And that's really important, isn't it? And I think, Boris, it goes back to something we were saying earlier about how important it is to have that sort of outlet, I guess, when you're all involved in something that, while it's fun, there is a serious nature to it.
It is rewarding. Whatever job you're doing around the circuit or on the day, serving the teas and being a marshal, you're looking out for things, and your job is still up for anything loose on a bike or smoke coming out or whatever. But it's the part of it in between where you're talking to the spectators. They've always got questions for you. And what's this and how's that work? How long has this been doing? And it's like in the TT, I had a lady come up to me and says, what time are the two-seater buggies? What time are the two-seater buggies out? I said, do you mean sidecars? She said, well, I'm not a racer. I said, they're out after this session, so you meet some characters, and it's part of the fun of it. And the cast is buzzing for those 4 or 5 days, and, well, even longer, but all the riders coming over and mechanics and everything is setting up in the paddock and stuff. It's very rewarding, and I'd encourage anybody to come down and give it a go. We'll show you the ropes. If you don't like it, we'll show you something else. There's always something to have your interest.
So it's all happening on the 7th of July, which, as we say, as we're speaking of now, isn't very far away at all. People are going to be able to watch as well as yeah, listen this year. And then there's the prize presentations, which are always good fun to go along to.
Yes, they're going to be really good this year. We've got a few top secret surprises as well, which if everything comes off, it's going to be amazing. But I don't tell you what they are.
Yes, you'll have to watch this space.
And just finally, Phil, we've been talking about the need to get more people involved and support the club going forward. How do people get in touch and go about maybe coming along and seeing if it's something for them?
People seem to think it's a closed shop because George and I and Peter and one or two others have been there forever. And it's not a closed shop at all. We're desperate. For 40 odd years I've been saying we need younger help. Anybody wants to get involved, speak to any one of us. They can contact us even through Manx Radio. If they ring Manx Radio and say, how do I get in touch with the Southern 100, I'm sure you'll give them George's number or my number. But we do seriously need new members to come in to pick up the knowledge that I have, to pick up the knowledge that George has before they put us into a retirement home. Yeah, if there's anybody out there who really wants to get involved in racing at Balaun, please do come and see us.
If anyone's listening and they're thinking, actually, they'd never thought about scrutineering and being something that might be an option for them, how would they go about getting in touch with you?
We've got the Alaman Scrutineers Association Facebook page. So if you jump on there, you can message us, our chairman, Grant Howard. He's always quick to answer and he'll put you straight on how to get involved.
And how long roughly does it take from showing an interest to being able to be part of the actual team?
Well, obviously your first step is your seminar. You can come up to Derby when the racing's on up there and just shadow, watch what we do, get your ticket through the seminar and then Derby for maybe 12 months and then introduce you to the Manx Southern 100 TT, depending on how comfortable you are as well with your abilities.
And in between Derby racing down south and on the Balaun course, Dave, and MGP and TT, do you actually have any spare time?
No, because we've got the two-day trial and the Enduros. I think last year we were out 55 times all up for different events.
It's nothing like scrutineering the Tim Bath, so.
Oh, fair play, yeah. How's it got a hole in it?
That's Boris Kitchen, Dave Redmayne, Phil Taubman and George Peach from the Southern 100 Club. And I'll put the link to their website on the podcast page. So please do get in touch if there's anything you feel you'd like to help them out with. Also, the Scrutineering Facebook page, there'll be a link on there as well, because there are so many different aspects to the work that they do down there. And I guarantee there'll be something for you. Thank you very much to all of them for coming in. And as ever, we will be broadcasting the races live here on Manx Radio from Monday, July the 7th, 2025. That's all for this episode of Journey to a Dream. It's brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, and you can find out more about them by visiting their website. It's kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. If you'd like to get in touch and be part of a future episode of Journey to a Dream, I'd love to hear from you. BethSB@manxradio.com is the best email address. And so until next time then, take care. Bye-bye.